Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Here we are today in Southern California, and the sun is out. When I call people on the East Coast, I tell them I'm working on the Ark. It has been raining for, it seems like, months, almost every day, major parts of the day. We're all becoming human sponges. Anyway, I'm so happy to be with you today, and I'm even more excited about Lisa Baptiste, who is going to be talking with us about the issue of the occult world, and she's with Journey Community Church. She has a ministry doing workshops on prophecy and scripture. She has a blog. She's a happily married mom to three boys, which makes me want to take a nap thinking about raising three boys. And she's involved in a revival group at Journey Community Church School of Ministry. Lisa, we are so happy to hear you today and to have you visit us.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks so much for that great introduction.
Wonderful. Before we get started, I like to do a little bit of fast food in the morning for all of us to kind of think about. This is Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to the whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for all you do flows from it. I just love this. Even reading it gives me peace, and I hope it does that for you all out there today. Lisa, I wanted to really talk with you about the whole issue of the occult world, because I remember hearing you pray and watching you in church, and you have such discernment and clarity, which I just love. Every time you open your mouth, I love listening to what you have to say. So let's talk a little bit about what occult practices are. I did some research in the Bible, and there are at least somewhere between 20 and 30 scripture passages warning us against all those practices. So maybe we should just identify what they are and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think first, I once heard Pastor Jason Dennison of Second Sunday Church of San Diego say that occult or witchcraft is so offensive to God because it circumvents relationship for the sake of power. And I've really never heard a better definition of what the occult is than that one.
Yeah, that is actually pretty perfect. I looked up the word occult and what it means in the dictionary, and it means hidden or covered, not observable. So it kind of goes along with what those practices are all about. I had, before I was searching, and I think a lot of people that get involved in the occult world are searching for things, searching for some kind of relationship or some way of making sense in the world. And I got very involved in the Church of Religious Science, which was all New Age, and was doing the manifesting thing, and everything was wonderful, except there was one huge problem. I had absolutely no peace. None. And I can remember I just woke up, and it was like, I think all I want to do is hear what the Bible says. And I just started searching for churches that just did that, just talked about the Bible. And that was the beginning of my way out of that world. I was very involved in astrology, very involved in, my sister used to read tea leaves, and my grandmother did the same. And so it was Freemasonry abounded in my extended family. So it was kind of everywhere. And I came to the point where I was, felt I was just not, I was taking care of things very poorly. Really, it was, I was doing my best effort, and my best effort was not, I was in charge of my life and I wasn't doing a good job. So, and I found it addictive, that I was constantly wanting to go back and read astrology and do all that, because there was this, I think, big gaping hole that the Lord needed to fill. And getting back into church, and we can talk later about ways out of that, but that would, that was kind of my experience, and it was hidden. Because it was like hidden, trying to get power, trying to know the future, trying to understand what was next or where to go next. But it was not real, and it was not relational.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. For me, it's just the point that you made about it being real or not real was something that I have actually spoken extensively to my husband about, because I meet a lot of Christians who say that it's not real, witchcraft is not real, and that they just don't believe in it. And they don't believe in it in the same way that they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And they don't believe in it in the same way that they don't believe in the move of the Spirit. They they themselves are cessationists, and that applies both ways, you know. And I used to say, people that live in Southern California, I'm from New York, but if you were a native San Diegan and you never left San Diego, and somebody tells you about snow, you might say, well, I don't believe in that because I've never seen that. But the fact of the matter is, it's very real. It's very real. And it's not something to be played with. It's not something that you just get to decide, well, I don't believe in that, and therefore it doesn't have power. Because then what you're doing is you're setting yourself up to accidentally stumble into it. And that's really what I've seen, both in my experience and the experience I've spoken with other believers who have come out of the occult, that it's rarely something that you seek out intentionally, right? It's something that you stumble across that incites your curiosity. When I looked up the definition of the occult earlier, it said mystical, magical, or supernatural practices. And that's such a wide definition, right? But it's because our culture has become so, and when I say our culture, I mean the church culture, has become so obsessed with condemning fantastical thinking, and we all want to damn Harry Potter, and we want to still promote Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, right? Narnia is great, and the Lord of the Rings are great, but as soon as it's Harry Potter, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm going to tell you, Sheila, when my 8-year-old came home and said, Mom, I want to start reading Harry Potter, I was not concerned. I said, yeah, absolutely, go ahead, because I've read Harry Potter, and I've practiced the occult, and I can recognize the difference between fantasy and reality. And that when my 5-year-old tells me that he dreams of flying, you know, what I see in fantastical thinking is this desire to go beyond one's physical limitations. And I think our human imaginations are always going to go there. We're always going to dream of flying. We're always going to want to be, wish we could be invisible and exist almost like a fly on the wall in these, you know, as adults, boardroom meetings, closed door meetings. It's it, and it speaks to that childlike desire for our imaginations to reach beyond our physical capabilities, which is not what the occult is, right? So my experience, the way I walked into it, was my mother had an Avon lady, and I'm sure most of your listeners remember Avon lady. And how these women would come to your home and give you catalogs, and our Avon lady came home with 3 giant coffee table books, books we were not supposed to read. They were just supposed to sit on the table. And one of them had to do with fairies, and one of them had to do with castles, and one of them had to do with witches. And fairies, let me tell you, was terrifying, because they went into real fairy folklore. And castles was very boring. It was about old Scotland and England, and France and all that. But Witches was about these women that had a relationship with this fallen angel named Lucifer. And in exchange for in this relationship, there was an exchange of power. And it's, I will give you me later if you give yourself to me now, if you'll help me now. And because I didn't grow up in a religious home, I knew nothing about the power of God. I knew nothing about the gifts of the Spirit. I didn't know that power was available. You know, it was fantasy up until that point, things that weren't real. And here is something, here's an offer of something very real. Here's an offer of something that says, I'll protect you. You need protection, I got you. Because that's what these women did. And so I did all of the rituals in this book, and it was like, okay, I'm yours. You can have me. If you'll protect me now, you can have me.
Wow.
And that's how I walked into it. And you're absolutely right about the addictive nature of power. In 1 John, you talked about the question that you asked was, why are these things that we should stay away from? Because we are cautioned, right, throughout Deuteronomy, throughout Leviticus, to in Deuteronomy 18, it mentions, you know, let no one be among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages with witchcraft, casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead, right? That's a pretty wide brush that Moses is painting here. It says, don't practice any of these things. And why? And in 1 John, John says, that the things of this world, which are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, do not come from our Father, right? And when you read about who these spiritists were and the things that they did, what are they doing that has to do with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Well, these people were highly regarded, right? They would have been sought after intensely in their communities. If you can interpret omens, if you can interpret dreams, if you have the power to make things happen, of course it's going to lend, it's going to pay your bills, right? It's going to take care of your family. It's everything that comes with that power, you know, is also wealth and prestige, right? Those are the real idols of our world, their power, wealth, and prestige. Those are the things Jesus warned of. And those are all of the things real occult witchcraft will give you. But they'll give them to you with no relationship whatsoever. And so after I stopped my satanic practice, because it's what it was, some people practice witchcraft like Wicca or animism or anything like that. I did not do that. I practiced Satanism, not Anton LaVey Satanism, but actual, I prayed to Satanism.
Wow.
And when I left that, it wasn't because I didn't want it, right? It was because my house got possessed and my mother had to exorcise my home. And I had never seen anything like that before. And my mother told me I had to get on my knees and beg for forgiveness. And I just remember being so angry because I had to release this power that I had been given. For what? Because this God who exists, who was suddenly very offended by what I had done, wasn't offering me anything in exchange. And so what was I supposed to do?
Yeah. Was your mother a Christian at that point?
She was, yes. My mother's been a believer my entire life, but she does not go to church. And so there was no foundation for faith, right? It was, she has a very personal relationship with God, is what she says.
Yeah, okay. So she saw what was going on and recognized it and knew what to do.
Yes, because when my witchcraft background goes back three generations, my great-grandmother would charm snakes and send them after her kids. And my grandmother would read cards. And my mother and my aunts would play with Ouija boards at one point. And then it came to me. So really four generations is how far back witchcraft went in my maternal side.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm so intentional about making sure my kids don't just stumble into it the way that I did.
Right, right. Absolutely. And now, how did you resolve that, not giving that there was another power that wasn't giving you anything?
Yeah, so I really spiraled out, and I started searching for anything else. I read the Bhagavad Gita, and mm-hmm. I read all of the writings of Buddha that I could get a hold of. I read the Quran. I read all of the mythology from Greek mythology to Egyptian mythology, and I was just searching for anything that would restore that power that mm-hmm. I felt like I so desperately needed. Mm-hmm. And eventually in high school, I found tarot cards. And tarot cards were these magical things that would give me answers as opposed to just power. I get answers. And the obsession with them was so intense that even after I stopped reading them, I couldn't walk down that aisle in Barnes & Noble that even had them, even after I became a believer, because the gravitation toward them, my heart wanted what they offered me. Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. Mm-hmm. And my heart wanted answers, and my heart lusted for power. Mm-hmm. And so the way I eventually ended up out of all of it is I remember the day that Jesus came to me and asked me, what if it didn't always have to be this way? Because I wasn't a happy, you know, medium. I wasn't, you know, I was very depressed. And I had attempted suicide, and I remember reading in Job, where Job's wife, after my mother made me go to church with the neighbors after she went through our home and did the whole exorcist thing, she made me go to church with the neighbors, and I remember reading a scripture in Job where his wife tells him to curse God and die. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I did that for years, hoping that God would just get so mad he would take me out. And instead, Jesus, in this beautiful act of mercy, just came to me and said, what if it didn't always have to be this way? What if you didn't always just have to feel afraid all the time?
Praise
what
God.
If you didn't need to just maintain control all the time? And I said, if you could do that, if you could give that to me, I will follow you forever. And now it's been 22 years where I've been learning how the occult is, how Satan offers you counterfeit power, where mm-hmm. it's real, but it doesn't get to the soul of a person. Mm-hmm. It never speaks identity to mm-hmm. a person in a meaningful way that will build them up and strengthen their inner man and bring someone to life. All it does is bring death and destruction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's why I think it's so funny that the Lord has given me this prophetic gift that I get to teach now. I get to teach on what does a prophetic gift look like and how to use scripture in prophecy when I used to be a tarot card reader. And how funny that Satan, when I was a 15-year-old child, tried to destroy this connection that I had with God by tarnishing it and mm-hmm. making it feel dirty when I suddenly knew something about somebody and I felt like that was latent evil that just existed within me.
Praise God. Praise God. How long did that process take? And I'm sure parts of it are still going on, but when did you know that you were truly free?
Oh, it was actually very quick. When I was about 20 years old, so I had been walking with the Lord for about 2 years, I stopped feeling that pull back to the occult, and the reason was because when I was a tarot card reader, there was one card that always came up in any of my readings, and it was the meaning of that card meant that I would have heartbreak my entire life. I would just live with a broken heart, and that love was not meant for me. And, you know, we talk often about how the Lord has purposes for your life. Well, if Satan can destroy those purposes, there's a win in that. And Satan wanted me to believe that I would exist with this sorrow hanging over me my whole life and that I would just never get rid of it. And it got to the point where I saw it so often that even after I started walking with Jesus, I had planned on getting that as a tattoo because it felt like a shirt tag. It felt so defining to me. And my pastor at the time was like, maybe we don't get tarot cards imprinted on our body. Like, just a thought. It's like, oh, you're probably right. Yeah. You know what? You got something there.
Yeah.
And so thank God I never did. But when I broke the agreement with that definition, because again, the reason that witchcraft is so offensive to God is it circumvents relationship for the sake of power, right?
Yes.
And it's like taking a bucket, it's like digging a hole, a regular, you know, maybe 3 foot deep hole and putting a bucket into it. And then you pull up a whole bucket of water and there was nothing in the hole before you put the bucket in. So you don't know where the water came from, but you're going to drink that water and you're just going to say thank you to whatever is out there that gave you the water. And when you think of it in those terms, it sounds crazy and it makes you wonder, why would anybody ever do that? And it's because we don't empower people to have a dynamic relationship with God. We don't empower people to have a spirit-filled interaction with God that includes the kingdom of heaven, that includes the gifts of the Spirit, that includes the power and authority that Jesus really wanted us to have, right? We present this impotent God that at one point might have done miracles, but he doesn't do them today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Newton believed that God wound up the world, set it down, and walked away. And if that's the God that I have to serve and I have to manage all of this humanness and everything that comes with my humanity with no power, yeah, that's not the God I'm going to go for.
Yeah.
But I really, what I'm teaching my kids today, the reason my children will not just stumble into witchcraft, even though they read Harry Potter, even though they know mom played Dungeons and Dragons in college. Ooh, like, and I still love D&D. I think D&D is a great game. I think it's corporate storytelling. Is because they watch me interact with Scripture and that Scripture is alive and active and it changes me. And so this book has the capacity to change my inner being. And they watch me when I pray for people, I can speak life into them, and that life brings their spirit to life, and it draws them close to God, and it makes them feel known, and it makes them feel loved and seen, and they see the work of the Spirit in action, so they never feel like they need to go somewhere else for power. God has enough power that if that's really what you want, that it's right there, but you have to go to God to get it. You have to know God, and you have to understand God. You have to understand God's purpose for power as opposed to man's purpose for power.
Where
it's not about me. It's about him. It's about his glory. It's not about my power or wealth or prestige because some people, like, when I was a kid, like I said, I wasn't happy. But for the first time in my life, when I was a tarot card reader, I was popular. Adults would keep me after school, my teachers would keep me after school to read their tarot cards. And that's crazy when I think about it, because some adults should have said, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. But they were, they themselves were so, you know, dazzled by it because they don't experience power in their everyday life.
They were
and so that's really where I find the void is. The void is spiritual power. And that people find it, they stumble across it in the occult and they treat it like a pot of gold. Where in reality, it's coal. You know, it'll work. If you use it, it'll work. But it's not gold. And eventually it'll give you sickness and it'll kill you. And so that's really my focus now, is that when I talk to people about the occult, I recognize the void of spiritual power that we're all looking for, that we all feel helpless in this world. And we're really reaching out to anything that will help in the suffering, right? That will help on the everyday. Because to exist is to experience pain, right? And from a young age, we try to learn how to mitigate that pain. And when you are availed to the mercy of God and you're open to that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you take that authority that Jesus gave you, not only does it just alleviate your suffering, it alleviates the suffering of others. And it brings God into this moment of personalization and interaction that most people don't even dream of until it happens.
Right. Right. You know, that's one of the things that happens in Christian families is the kids go to the Bible study midweek and they are sent off to watch TV or something while the adults are talking, praying for each other and hearing testimonies. And the kids never learn about the authority that they have and the power that they have in Jesus. They never learn that. So they think that faith is just something we do, but it has no power, it has no meaning, it's not important. And I think that's
right.
Why so many of the children of Christian families move away from it, because they haven't seen it, they haven't watched it, they haven't prayed for people and seen the miraculous happen.
Mm-hmm. And I will ask my children to prophesy over me, because I want them to practice tuning their ears to the Father's voice, even if
mm-hmm.
what they tell me is just coming from their good intentions. I ask them, can you ask God what he has to share with mommy today? And they will cover their face and they'll say a quick prayer. And then my 7-year-old will say, mommy, he just said that he loves you. And whether or not that he is actually hearing from God or that's just bubbling up from within him, he is practicing tuning his ear and tuning
mm-hmm.
his heart to God.
Mm-hmm.
He is practicing looking for those scriptures that are implanted in him every Sunday in Sunday school and looking for what does the Word of God say and then reproducing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy to give him that at 7 as opposed to what I found at 7, you know.
Exactly, exactly. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if people are listening and they're finding that they're moving in that direction and they don't want to go there or they want
mm-hmm.
to change it, what would you suggest to them?
I would suggest to first be real about what it is you're doing and understand the gravity of what you're doing, because a lot of the times people that just read horoscopes is what I
mm-hmm.
hear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize that what you're doing when you're reading a horoscope is you're allowing something you have no relationship with to speak identity over you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really what you want? And if it's not what you want, don't do that. But recognize that this is what you're doing and hold on to that and don't let that leave your mind, that you're allowing something that you have no relationship with to speak identity over you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are somebody that has totems or luck charms, or you practice light animism, you walk into an area and you thank whatever spirits are there, right? Recognize what you're doing. You're talking to something, you're giving power to something, right? Or you're drawing power from something that you have no relationship with. And instead of recognizing creation as creation and creator as creator, you're interacting with creation as though it is creator, you know, and don't do that. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of the times it's just conscious awareness. If we had more conscious awareness of what we were doing and why we were doing it, I think that's enough to move us in another direction, but also couple that with find a spirit-filled community
mm-hmm.
that will
yeah.
move you in the direction of the gifts and the manifestations of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, if you are divination inclined, go find somebody that can teach you about prophecy, because there's a good chance, like, I've heard different pastors say that the gifts of the Spirit are irrevocable, that once you get them, you just have them. Now,
mm-hmm.
you can use those gifts for personal glory, or you can use those gifts for your Father's glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so if what you have is divination and that's your poison, go find somebody that can teach you about prophecy, because there's a good chance you've got a prophetic gift and it just needs to be focused in the right direction. Or if you're somebody that's like, but these horoscopes really tell me like deep truths about myself and they guide me, you need to get into your word and read more about what your identity in Christ is, mm-hmm. because that will really root you in a way that will allow you to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, because mm-hmm. then you'll be built up in your inner man as opposed to living in fear of what the stars have to say about you, right?
Right,
or if
right.
you're somebody that's into, I know people that are into transcendental meditation. Well, mm-hmm. you know what? It says that Peter, I think, was taken up to the third, or Paul was taken up to the third heaven. Ask the Lord for visions. You know, there's everything Satan promises to give you, right? God has the real deal in that God has the thing that is most real, the thing that exists both within him and within you and within the world and within relationship. You know, it's not just magically unlocking the power of the universe, right? Because the universe is dark and cold and uncaring, and it's easy to get lost in it, right? Where you never get lost in the Father. You never get mm-hmm. lost in Jesus. Mm-hmm. He reveals what is most true about you. You know, you never lose yourself in the Father.
And it's the most beneficial for you.
Absolutely.
Well, what the enemy is offering is not necessarily beneficial for you. I can remember when I was dealing with the whole astrology issue, and I did not like the fact that I felt compulsively drawn to read that all the time. And mm-hmm. When I decided, I started going to church and being in the Word, and I just said, I'm just not going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it. And it was a hard thing to stop. And then I realized this stuff is a big deal. It's not a little deal. It's not fun and games. It was hard to stop. And then ultimately, the desire went away. But, boy, something else.
Absolutely. And it is hard to stop. Their spiritual addiction is a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people that are spiritually addicted to church. They just like the way that the Spirit makes them feel, and they can just be at church for 3 days on end. And it's because they're not really chasing the Spirit. They're chasing the high that they get with mm-hmm. the Spirit, right? We so easily become addicted to mm-hmm. our behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And only God can deliver us from those things. Mm-hmm. And so I have a friend, his name is Matt Grossman of Rebuilt Ruins Ministries. If there's anybody that feels like, you know, I need deliverance, I can't say no on my own. I need somebody to help me mm-hmm. break off whatever this addiction is. I highly recommend reaching out to him because mm-hmm. his deliverance ministry is all about setting people free. And his theme this year, set people free in 2023. And so recognize that while speaking to the listeners, while Sheila had enough willpower to say, I'm just not going to do this, and how I had to have enough willpower to say, I'm just not going to go to those places where I am tempted,
mm-hmm,
right? It's like when an alcoholic stops drinking, they stop going to the bar. But it becomes a very isolating thing, right? And all of a sudden you lose your friends, because I'm sure for you, Sheila, your friends were into these things.
Right.
And you found great community there. And to leave that feels like leaving everything. It's mm-hmm. almost like leaving marriage, right? It's mm-hmm. it's leaving mm-hmm. covenant and community. And so it feels like this all-encompassing tearing apart of your life. And that's really scary. And for a lot of people, that's enough to not leave. Mm-hmm. But the freedom on the other side of that, there's community on the other side of that. There is empowerment and power to still affect things around you on the other side of that. You don't have to do it alone. You don't.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
thankful that when I thought like there was just something that was bad that existed in me. I went to a Christian university for college, and I had these wonderful upperclassmen who asked me, when I know things about people, does it make me look cool or does it make God look cool? And I said, it makes me look crazy. And they said, then it's probably God. And they taught me what a prophetic gift was. And now here I am 22 years later teaching the same to others.
Praise God.
You know, freedom begets freedom.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, if someone wants to be in contact with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I have a blog, godmoments.live, L-I-V-E. I also have a Patreon that you can find me at. It's patreon.com/LisaBaptiste, B-A-P-T-I-S-T-E. Those are for people that want to support my ministry, as I am a writer and a blogger. The Lord has put on my heart to finish this book on hope that I've developed curriculum around and that I've taught. So if you're interested in that, you get some cool scripture guided meditation on there. It's different than what the world puts out there. It's short and it's scripture based. So you could check out either one of those things, or if you email Sheila, I'm sure she can forward anything my way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd be happy to do that. Well, Lisa, it has been a complete joy having you on the show today, and what a wonderful source of information. Wonderful.
Thanks,
source
Sheila.
Of information.
It's great being on the show. Thank you again for inviting me.
Well, and there's a whole other area that we didn't get into today, but we'll have to have you back on the issue of artificial intelligence and its relationship to the spiritual world. And maybe we'll have you back and we can talk on that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
God bless you and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.